Turn with me, if you would, to the 24th Psalm. Psalm 24. In verse 1, let's hear the word of God. The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Again, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing as we look at this short passage this morning. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture. You'll open our hearts, open our minds to receive it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what do you own? What exactly do you own? Yeah. Some of us, it may not take too much time. Some of us, it might take a little longer to start and do an inventory. Yeah. And the things that you own, on what basis do you make that claim? What is the basis that you make the claim of ownership? Did you buy it and acquire ownership that way? What if you paid for it, but what you bought was stolen? Stolen. Do you still own it? But you bought it, but you paid for it. Do you still own it? Is the property yours simply because it's in your possession? Hey, you know, there was a time that people had to deal with squatters on their land. Property owners would have guys come in and say, hey, I think this is a good place to build a cabin. And I'll just, you know, cordon off some property. Yeah. There's a guy that's not real far from here that tried to do the same thing. He said, you know, I really would like a piece of that property over there, so I'll just stick a fence out there a little bit, and a little bit more, a little bit more. Now it's all grown up out there, so I can't see if the fence is still there or not. What if you found a bag of money? Is that yours? Do you own it? I'm always asking at the restaurants. They always ask me if there's anything else I want. I always tell them a bag of money, and they never bring it to me. I don't get it. Is the thing that you own a product of your own imagination or your own efforts? Is it intellectual property that you own? You know, for many years now, there are some who have claimed that the earth is their own personal possession. There's an entire religion structured around the environment. The evangelists of environmentalism will go out and they preach, go green. Got to have a Green New Deal. Forty years ago, we were instructed to alter our lifestyle to stave off the coming ice age. We're all going to freeze up now. See, it's kicking on. Here it comes. The ice age is coming. Now we're instructed to alter our lifestyle to, put off the global warming. And so since we can't be certain on whether it's an ice age or global warming, we'll just call it climate change. See, that way we make up for everything. Basically, the idea in this religion is that life and function as we know it, you just throw that out the window. Because the planet must be saved. And we're all walking around ruining this planet, this wonderful planet. So we gotta give it up. We have to worship Mother Earth. That's the whole point of that religion. Incidentally, one of the sacraments of that religion is abortion. you sacrifice human life to the environment. You know, that's one less human to pollute the world. Well, it doesn't matter what we think we own. The very first item of business that God deals with in His Word is that the earth is His. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. Out of nothing. Out of nothing. You and I can't do that. There are places where you can go where they're telling you these days, you can speak things into existence. Just speak them. It doesn't work that way. Only God has that power. Only God has creative power. He spoke and hung this great big blue ball in outer space. And it stays there. You know, where this planet is not like a rocket ship zipping through anything. We're right there. We're right where He put us. And you know, there are people today who believe this big blue ball is really flat. They've gone back to the idea that this planet is really flat, which is kind of bizarre when you figure all the rest of them are round. You know, why did God decide, oh, I'll have some fun with them human beings, I'll put them on a flat planet and watch them fall off. Huh? It's not how that works. God created this. This is His. Gospel of John, first chapter, third verse. Everything was made by Him. And without Him, nothing was made. Ownership is clearly laid out as to who owns what. Genesis, back in chapter 1, 26 through 28, we hear that God, in His grace, established some kind of an organization for this planet. He created man, and He gave man dominion over the earth. Not to use and abuse it, but He gave man. Man is the ultimate creation on this planet. And he is to be a steward of the creation. He is to take proper and reasonable care of God's property. But the earth remains God's property. He never relinquishes ownership, ever. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. That makes it a little bit bigger, because now we're not just talking about a planet made of minerals and whatnot. It's everything that this planet is comprised of. God owns that. All of its fullness, and God keeps it full. There's seas and mountains and glaciers and air. How many people are breathing today on this planet? And there still seems to be air. You know? Some of us are not breathing as well, but we're breathing air. God makes sure that we have it. What about the minerals and things in the planet? What about the mines that are dug in to withdraw coal to keep things going? And diamonds to make ladies happy. And silver and gold, all of these things mined out of the ground. the earth, when God created it and funded it, if we can use that kind of language, he didn't skimp. And it's all his. It doesn't belong to AOC in Washington, D.C. I'm sure she doesn't have any idea. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. All of the inhabitants belong to God. God has made it perfectly clear to us that there is nothing in this earth that is not his. Nothing. There are influences that want you to believe otherwise. But not so. Paul, when he wrote to his first letter to Corinthians, he uses this passage to support the contention that to Christians, there's no unlawful food. He said, you know, will you reject a meal that's given by God? You know, the Jews had dietary laws. We don't. And contrary to what some people will tell you, their diets were not better. God ordained what he ordained for food for your benefit. You know? If you want to have a shrimp cocktail, go for it, man. Enjoy it. If you want to have a nice steak, make it so. If you only want a salad, I'll pray for you. But no, but that's okay. You know what? My wife's been making some fantastic salads lately. I mean, I don't know what all the stuff is she's throwing in there, but it tastes okay. So I guess as long as she doesn't tell me I'm good. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of strange cheeses, but this feta, this goat cheese, you know, stuff, it can be tolerable in the right surroundings with the proper lettuce and strawberries and blueberries and whatever else that is that they throw in there. You know, all of this provided by God. We're allowed to eat. We're allowed to eat a hamburger. We're allowed to eat a chunk of ham. All of these things God has given. He owns that and tells us we may participate in those things. We can choose not to. You don't have to eat everything. I mean, literally, you don't have to eat everything. No. Just because there's starving kids in China, your plate's not going to make a difference to them. Whatever you don't eat's getting thrown out. And those starving kids are not going to receive it. So it's okay. You don't have to be intimidated by that. But when God provides for you, are you going to reject it in any way? No, we're not going to do that. Those who dwell therein are especially, I mean, it takes in everything, but especially those who were made in his image. And this is a dagger in the heart to those who practice environmentalism. They don't want men to have the stature that God ordained for men on the planet. They don't want that to happen. But see, there's another side to the coin. Because if God has indeed, and he has, ordained men to have dominion over this earth, he also has responsibility and accountability that is required of those men. And our accountability is to him. It's not our planet, it's his planet. We're caretakers. We're stewards. We do what we do for Him. There's nothing in life that can occur outside of the sovereignty of God. God is the ultimate sovereign. And we keep that in mind. So somebody might say, when thinking about God and His sovereignty, isn't there a limit to His sovereignty? Well, if there was, He wouldn't be a sovereign. Well, what about, doesn't He have a self-imposed limit on His sovereignty? None whatsoever. If God is not sovereign in all things, then He's not God. If there's something that can displace Him, He can't be God. So that can't happen and doesn't happen. His sovereignty extends over all of creation. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, all in heaven and earth is thine. It's all His. Now here's another thing. The environmentalists, they always go nuts. You can't use fossil fuels because, you know, you'll destroy the planet that way. You can't do this, you can't do that. Here is a truth. Man cannot destroy God's creation. It's God's. You can't take away from God. You can't ruin God. From God. Somebody say, oh yeah, you know what? You're going to drill for oil. You're going to take all that oil and we won't get any more. It's my understanding that there's so much oil in this planet, you could never exhaust it. Now, I've never done it, but I've been told that those who've been under the waters, in the Gulf of Mexico and in the oceans, oil seeps up through the bottoms. It just, because it's got no place to go, oil will just seep up and, it dissipates eventually. There is so much, and yet they want to bring you into their bondage by telling you something that God has not declared. What else? In Ezekiel 18:4, God says, all souls are mine. You know what He does not say? And we got to make sure we don't misread that. He does not say that all souls are saved. He said, all souls are mine. Just as the clay to the potter is at the mercy of the potter, all souls are at the mercy of Almighty God. And they're His. We don't talk about that. We don't like to think about that. Because we know not all souls go to heaven. We know that some don't hear the gospel. But God is God. He's sovereign. And they're His. And He can do whatever He pleases. Please don't try and make that a human thought, because His thoughts are so much higher than ours. But it's the truth. God's sovereignty is absolute. There are no gray areas in the sovereignty of God. Jesus said in Matthew 20, can't I do what I will with my own? He's being interrogated by Pharisees. And Jesus is giving a lengthy reply. He said, can't I do what I will with my own? What is it that you have that you can't do what you want with it? Now, actually, in our world, we have things called zoning boards. You know? I couldn't go out back here and build an amusement park. They'd probably not be happy about that. Neither would I, actually, but, you know, that's just one of those things. That's another area where government has gotten too big for its britches and assumed things that it shouldn't be assuming. But Jesus said he can do whatever he wants with his own. And we are not justified to decide for him what's his idea. His authority is unlimited. The sovereignty of God is immutable. That means it will not change. All things are bound by the sovereignty of God. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. You see, our whole focus, everything that we, our life's breath depends on God. We need to focus on God in our lives. As Christian people, this should be a comfort. We should be able to rest in that thought that we can count on God, that we rest in God, that we go to him for our needs. And he hears us. God is God. He is sovereign. And how, we might ask, does he exercise his sovereignty? How is his sovereignty demonstrated? Well, in one way, by the laws by which we're governed. And I don't mean legislative laws. I mean physical laws. Gravity. Gravity can't be defied. Gravity is one of God's laws. That's an example of his sovereignty. He put it into place. Try as I might, I can't fly unless I get into an airplane or a helicopter or something like that. If I jump off the roof, I will fall. Even if you wear a cape, you will fall. Doesn't count. One of God's laws is that we must breathe oxygen. Again, you might be able to sneak in some helium once in a while and talk real funny. But if we have a steady diet of anything but oxygen, it'll kill us. God, that's part of God's sovereignty. That's part of the law that he has ordained for us. How about the changing of the seasons? The environmentalists would want us to think things are weird. Things aren't doing it like they've always done. But spring always follows winter. Summer always follows spring, and autumn always follows summer. It always works that way. It never changes. Ordained by God to be that way. What about moral laws? God gave the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, and those have never changed. God still insists and exercises his sovereignty in the way that his people worship him, not taking his name in vain. And going through those two tablets and identifying everything. Yeah. One tablet to how we love God, the other, how we love our neighbor. Those have not changed. Those continue on. The laws that he ordained and gave that have a promise associated with them, promise of either blessing or cursing. go to Deuteronomy 28 and you read through those things, and you find out, you know what? Some of that stuff, it doesn't change. You acknowledge God. You work and you keep God focused in your life, and receive His blessing. Forget Him and be cursed. Start thinking about doing things your own way and be cursed. God exercises His sovereignty in determining the nature and the powers of different orders of created beings. Why they are what they are is because they are how God created them to be. Why do amoebas only have one cell? Because God created them that way. You know what? Amoebas don't turn into monkeys. Not yet. Never seen it happen. Even if you believe the atheist and allow them billions and billions of years, it doesn't happen. God created it that way. God created men and women. That's it. That's it. He appoints to each one of us our position in life. He fixes our boundaries. And any changes that we might realize are within the boundaries that God has fixed. Our times are in His hands. Almighty God has determined the moment of our birth, the moment of our death. And it won't change. We sometimes will read of a tragedy and say someone died before their prime. They died too young. From our perspective, that would be correct. From God's perspective, they died right on time, according as He had ordained. He has granted divine favors. Again, He does what He will with His own. Some are rich and have honor and good health. Some don't. Most importantly, some will receive the light of the gospel. And sadly, some won't. Jesus said in Matthew 11, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Your sight. That's not a popular doctrine. Because in our modern world, we want everybody to go to heaven. Well, and we should. Let's be honest. As Christians and loving our neighbors, we should want everybody to go to heaven. But the reality of that is in God's hands. We don't pick and choose. We don't say, I can't give you the gospel because I know you're going to hell. And I just want to help you along. We can't do that. We give the gospel to openly, freely, to anyone and everyone. And it's in God's hands whose heart receives it. But the blessing of having known the reality of His salvation, to having that assurance of His salvation, is a real one. That's a real blessing. A deeply felt blessing. And a source for us to be humble and to acknowledge his mercy and his grace to us. Nothing in this life is outside of his control. The sovereignty of God is one of wisdom, it's one of holiness, and it's one of love. And for this we're thankful. We can say amen, or we can say ouch. We think it through. We meditate on it. Let's pray.